Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Over the next 3 days, I intend to speak on some social issues in the light of Krishna conscious understanding as I have understood it from Srila Prabhupada. This might be disappointing to you. You might think that, well, you wanted to hear something more directly Krishna conscious, but Srila Prabhupada, more than any other acharya in the history of this Kali Yuga, spoke much on social issues. As I say, he did so more than other Vaishnava acharyas. Of course, the social issues are not untouched in Vedic knowledge. In fact, there is a lot of discussion of them. We find in the Bhagavatam itself, Narad Muni, who is the Shaktya Veshavatara Bhakti Shakti, is speaking extensively. We find his teachings on the Varnas and Ashrams, so it is there among Vaishnava Acharyas. But Srila Prabhupada, he spoke a lot on this because, one reason, to a large extent, social values were taken for granted by previous Vaishnava Acharyas. In other words, more or less the Varnashram system was in place. It was on the background of that Vaishnava Acharyas taught. Of course, there was a lot of turmoil. Even in the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there were various social issues due to the Muslim rule. But at the present time, or rather the world that Srila Prabhupada preached in, the ethos that he preached in, was very different to that in which traditionally Vaishnava Acharyas preached in. So Srila Prabhupada, apart from social issues, even personal things, like I'm pretty sure that no previous Vaishnava Acharya had to teach his disciples to bathe after evacuating, or to wash their backsides after passing stool rather than rubbing it with some paper, which Srila Prabhupada had to instruct such things, which might seem like a graphic, well, it is a graphic example, but graphic examples are the ones which make the most impression. So there are many points that Srila Prabhupada spoke on, and I also often speak on them because they affect our whole understanding and approach to Krishna consciousness. They do have a profound effect on the way we live and act, which impacts our Krishna consciousness. Varnashram is the best social system, because it's, if practiced with Krishna consciousness in mind, it is the best social system for practicing Krishna consciousness. And whereas the modern way of life is based on, well, Varnashram is meant for controlling the senses and gradually leading one toward Krishna, Daivi Varnashram. Whereas in modern life, control of the senses is considered something, at best, it's the modern outlook considers sense control to be something foolish, and often they consider it to be harmful even. I'll talk more about that gradually. But specifically today, I want to talk about modern education and its deleterious effects, which I've often spoken about. Srila Prabhupada often also spoke about it. Srila Prabhupada famously compared modern educational institutions to slaughterhouses. I recently received a letter from one of my dear god brothers, Tejas Prabhu, who probably you all don't know, but anyone who is in ISKCON in India when Srila Prabhupada was here certainly knew him, because Srila Prabhupada gave him much, actually piled lots of responsibility on him, and although he's not so well known for it, he was actually one of the, among other things, he was one of the pillars in bringing the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan into being. So he's been doing lots of research, I mean really a lot of research into various issues, social issues, that Srila Prabhupada instructed Tejas Prabhu to, not only Tejas Prabhu, but he was one of them who instructed him to establish the Kisan movement, simple living and high thinking. So one of the main obstacles to simple living and high thinking is modern education. Now, I've spoken at various times and places about the adverse effects of modern education, but I'm going to speak today, and I'm not going to attempt to cover all the bad effects of modern education. But I'm going to base it on this letter that Tejas Prabhu sent me, and I'll elaborate on some of these things. I may say, well, first of all, what are the good effects? And people say, well, by modern education, the whole society progresses, and people who formerly were condemned to just live a very backward and primitive life, now they can get ahead and realize their full potential, etc., etc., etc. So that comes from a certain kind of worldview that your full potential is realized if you become, for instance, a computer engineer. But our Krishna conscious outlook is that your full potential is realized when you become a pure devotee of Krishna. And modern education doesn't encourage anyone to become a pure devotee of Krishna. In fact, Krishna is a banned subject in India, in the schools. And even if they do discuss, they discuss in a relativistic manner. Modern education is based on the relativistic, atheistic, demoniac outlook that there is no absolute truth, and humankind is progressing towards ever greater heights, etc., 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 which is a bunch of rubbish, because modern society has got more social problems than at any other time, and people are less healthy than ever before. Even they say modern medicine has made people more healthy, but actually they're, we find more and more big hospitals and more they say they've cured diseases, which is another farce, which they haven't cured any diseases. That's another thing Tejas Prabhu has been researching, that they say that, for instance, they found the vaccine for TB, but at the time they discovered it, TB was anyway going down by itself. And meantime, TB is sweeping around the world again, tuberculosis. So there's so many bluffs. And the most dangerous, probably one of the most dangerous places you can go in America is into the hospital. Because the hospitals kill more people than traffic accidents. I think it's number two after traffic accidents. The number of people that die from wrong medication, wrong prescription, people don't need operations, but the doctors think that they need their money, so they give you an operation anyway. and which often causes fatalities, which is the modern American euphemism for deaths. Anyway, there are so many problems. Modern society has so many problems, but because of modern education, people think that modern education is wonderful and great and better than in any way than it was ever before. And if we say anything against this, people think we're crazy. Because you're trained by modern education to believe all the garbage that they instill into the consciousness of people. And we're not even aware of it. It's not that anyone comes up to us at any point in time and says these things directly. It's all implied. Or much of it is implied. That modern life, it's so much better and everything's getting better and progress. But actually, it's modern education, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was also modern educated at the time, said. He stated, Jaro Bidda Jato Mayar Bhaibhav Tomar Bhajane Badha Moha Janamiya Anitta Sangsari Jivke Kareye Gadha. He says that mundane so-called knowledge is simply a display of maya, illusion, and is an obstacle in Krishna consciousness. This material existence is already illusory, and this modern education simply increases that and makes the jiva, who is supposed to be serving Krishna, into a big ass. So we can see that practically. That young children from the very beginning, they're going to school carrying so many books, just like asses, they're carrying so many books. And then they have to carry all that knowledge, so-called knowledge, in their heads, just like asses carrying a big burden. An ass carries a big burden, which is of no benefit to him. The ass carries big rocks, no benefit to him. So all that so-called knowledge you learn, it's no benefit to you. Just like if you go to a computer course, you have to spend so much money to learn so many things, which is of no use to you whatsoever, because what they're teaching you is all, by the time they teach you, it's already outdated. Any computer course you go to has no application whatsoever. It's already, you can learn how to turn on the computer and boot up the system, and then when Windows crashes, inevitably how to reboot and all this kind of thing. But, you know, you don't need to spend so many thousands of rupees and spend so much time to do that. When I was at school, the teachers told me, or at least one of them who was honest enough to tell me, that as soon as you finish writing your exam, you can forget everything, because there's absolutely no practical application in life whatsoever. So it makes you like an ass. And not does it only make, it doesn't only make you like an ass, it actually makes you an ass, because in your next life you're highly liable to become an ass, because you didn't spend your life learning about Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada recommended living simply, which people think is primitive and backward and all these kind of things, because that is conducive for realizing the aim of life. The aim of life is to understand that I'm not this body, I'm an eternal spirit soul, I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. And that consciousness is that has to be cultivated, that requires time. So if we're living simply, then we have time. Of course, people think, well, on the farms is so much work. That's because the farms are part of the modern economic system, in which people work. They think they have to have big farms and produce lots of crops and make lots of money so they can have a TV and then a tractor and then go on holiday and all this kind of thing. But if you only live to produce your necessities, you don't have to work hard. It's only when you think that you need more and more things that farming becomes a business, and you have to send your children to school spending so much money and then every time you get sick, you have to see a doctor, which costs you thousands of rupees. But all these things are actually not necessary. We can live simply, not work very hard, and use the balanced time for cultivating knowledge of the soul and cultivating Krishna consciousness. People in modern life don't get time for anything except working hard. And when I was a kid at school, I was told that by the time we get a little bit older, there won't be any work. Machines will do it all. What a joke. Ha, ha, ha. Everyone's working. But then when at that time, people used to work about 40 hours a week. Nowadays, you see all these countries like China and India, their economies, they call it developing, on slave labor practically. The people, they're working 60, 80 hours a week. And in the many IT companies, they have dormitories, so you can just, and they bring you food from the Pizza Express or whatever. And then when you're tired, you can sleep in the dormitory and you can shower to get freshened up. And the rest of the time, you're just working. And then once a week, they let you out. And then you can, you don't go home to see your family because you don't live anywhere near your family. You don't have a family. And then that's it. That's your whole life. You work, eat, and sleep. And that's all. That's all. You're not allowed time to do anything else. So, where's the? It's actually the whole modern progress is going on slave labor, practically. The people are working so hard, and they're telling you, saying, you see, they're showing big roads with cars and big buildings. All these big buildings are built by these tribal people who they pay them a pittance, and they just sleep on the construction site. Anyway, that's another topic, but it's all running on exploitation, actually. Modern education promises you will get so much, but actually they're just cheating you because the whole idea is to exploit you. Even if you get so-called good pay, 20,000 rupees a month, so-called good pay. But the person who's employing you, they're making 20 lakhs a month or much more out of your work. And you can be in a company for like 20 years, and then one day they just call you and say, okay, goodbye, finished. It's happening so many times. Of course, no one stays in a company 20 years. They're always shifting jobs also. That's another point. So the idea is that education will give you a better way of life. Isn't it? You need education, otherwise how can you earn a living? Then, if you think like that, then there's no simple life. Educate children in modern education, and definitely they're going to leave home. Now, previously, people didn't have all this modern education. Most people didn't have a formal education. By the age of 6 or 7, most children were already, they already knew how to earn a living. They didn't have to go for education to the age of 25 or something. By the age of 6 or 7, if their father is a potter, they also knew how to make pots. You may say, well, that's not a very good way to live, but then so many people have modern education, they're driving an auto rickshaw or making pots in a factory, which you don't need a big education to do. So what was the point of it? And however much you make so-called progress of society, still you're going to need, in any circumstances, you're going to need a majority of people who do menial work like this. So what's the point of giving everyone a big education? Previously, like I say, people by the age of 6 or 7, they would already have they'd know how to earn their living. And they didn't have any anxiety what they're going to do. It's already, so modern education means that you do 20 years of education, spending a huge amount of money, and even then you're not sure you're going to get any income. Whereas by the age of 6 or 7, in most cases, people already had it already settled. They already learned what they needed to do for their whole life, and they had no anxiety about what their future would be, because society was stable, and there's always a need of a potter, there's always a need of a barber, there's always need of food grains, and a few people would have some extra education. Not that everyone's required to have big education. So, but the modern way of living, that you think, oh, unless you have an education, you can't maintain, you can't do anything, you can't earn a living. So then you find that over 20,000 people a day living in the villages in India, they're leaving to the city because they think, oh, I have to see. One, who was that, Kartik, was saying this morning, if I stay at home as a weaver, I only get 2,000. I learn about computers, I can earn 20,000 rupees a month. So saying, well, 2,000 rupees a month, okay, well that's there, that's standard, that's steady. And you have a home to live in, you don't have to spend money going up and down, you don't have to buy a motorbike or go on a bus or whatever, up and down and spend so much time. And your food you grow locally, but if you, say you earn 20,000, which is not guaranteed, even if you do have a computer education, it's not at all guaranteed that you're going to be earning that amount. If you earn, usually what happens, people come out of a computer education and their first few jobs, they just pay them like that, 3,000 rupees a month. And they just use them like that, because the new people coming out, they just use like that. But then you also have to, you have your debt for your education. You have to pay that off. And then you have to, you can't wear simple clothes. You have to wear some fancy clothes. You have to spend for rent. You have to spend for food. You're not living with your family, so you have to cook. You have to spend time going up and down to work. You have to spend money. And so even if you are earning money, you have to spend so much extra. And then you'll be taxed. And then there'll be different people expecting contributions from you. And you have to spend so much extra on so many things. And then you're at work, people will expect you to go for drinking in the pub and all this kind of thing. So again, you have to spend so much money. And then you have to have a cell phone. And you have to pay the bill on that. And your wants increase. Your so-called needs increase. So you end up actually with not any better standard of life, but you think, oh, I'm earning so much more. But actually, you're spending it all also. And you're earning 2,000 rupees. Okay, that covers all your needs. You have no debts. But if you're earning, you might be earning extra if you happen to get a job, which is not sure also, because you're going to be thrown out of your job at any moment, even if you do get a job. But then you have all debts, and your needs are not fulfilled, because living in the city and then you're thinking, oh, I have to get this, I have to get that. So your wants are not fulfilled. So what's better, to earn 2,000 and live peacefully with your family in the village and with fresh air, fresh food, and all your wants are fulfilled, or earn 20,000, which is not likely anyway, and you'll be full of anxiety, have no time for anything, and get polluted air, polluted food, polluted water, and have debts. So it's an illusion that your life will be better. If you get education, can your life be better. Otherwise, you have to live in a very backward, they think it's very backward to live a simple life. But then again, you see, everyone, what are most people doing? They have an education, but most people, or even if they do have a job which seems very sophisticated, they're working on a computer, they're banging in some data or something. What's the actual advantage? So, and we find that in the village areas, that all the young people have left. There's no family, no community, it's all doomed. Because The idea is that unless children get an education, it's all darkness. There's no future. You're not looking after your children properly unless you give them an education. All this propaganda is there. And the idea is that the children from the very beginning, they think, you know, you're going to be hopeless. You're going to be a failure unless you get this education. So when I speak about this, usually, when I speak about modern education as spoiling people's lives, I get all these looks on people's faces, like, what are you talking about? You know, they can't work, they can't understand it at all. Because it just goes completely is completely contrary to everything they've ever learned or thought. And people think that, you know, well, it's all right, if you like, you can chant Hare Krishna, but you know, you've got to think of the material side also. Well, that's exactly what Prabhupada was doing, thinking of the material side, which most people don't do. They don't think about it, they just follow what everyone else does. Oh, I'm not going to get an education now. Spoiling my life. Poor baby. Maybe thinking about, I have to go and get an education. So-called education. So there's all these ideas which are directly and subtly imposed on people. And even our devotees, they're supposed to read Prabhupada's books and they're supposed to understand that human life is meant for God realization. But practically speaking, I can see that most of our devotees, they think, yeah, self-realization is okay, but the real important thing that we have to consider is, where's the money coming from? And we have to maintain our prestige, and I have to send my children to a prestigious school, and so they can get a good job. It's a Shudra mentality. I cannot live unless someone employs me. People have no idea that by God's arrangement... Don't take photos, please. It's just, you know, there's already enough disturbances. Try and listen. That's what we're here for, actually. You're not really here for the, you know, all the fancy technology. We're actually here to hear something which will be of benefit to us. So, it's a Shudra mentality that Krishna has arranged everything that we can live without much endeavor. But we think that, oh, unless someone, in modern education, we think that unless someone employs me, how can I live? And people, you see, formerly the Brahmin class, they were very proud. Still they may be proud, but they don't really have much to be proud about. But one of the things was they'll never take any employment from anyone. But now they're very, you see, I'm working for a big prestigious company. And they're, I see, oh, my son's working for Hewlett Packard or IBM or something like that. They're very proud. What is there to be proud of? You're employed by someone who doesn't give a damn about you. Your employer doesn't know who you are, the head of the company, doesn't give a damn who you are, they just want some work out of you, that's all. So, the whole idea is that without education you're just nothing. And with education, you become something very important. And people are very impressed. In India, when people meet, what is your name? Where are you from? What is your educational qualification? What company? Who do you work for? They don't even consider that you might be self-employed. The idea is there that without this education, we can't maintain ourselves. We're nothing. It gives the idea that Only the schools and colleges are competent to give us guidance. Within the family, no one can guide us. So, in the school also, they don't just give us this education, but they give us a whole world view. Life is meant for working hard. Then Darwinian evolution theory. This idea that life has evolved from matter, which is atheism actually. So all these ideas are implanted. And even if the religion, if that's all right, you can go and get a blessing to pass your exam. That's the purpose of going to a temple or a sadhu. And so many people come to me, even our initiated devotees come and say, oh, it's my daughter's exam tomorrow, please give a blessing. As if, you know, I've been chanting Hare Krishna all these years and now I should give all my accumulated shakti to them so they can pass their stupid exam. And they're serious. They think that, you know, they're supposed to be in Krishna consciousness, and they think that the function of a sadhu is to bless their children for some mundane exam. How little they understood. So the idea is there that human society without this modern education is incompetent. But we can, only by modern education can you make something of yourself. And it also gives the idea that our competence has to be certified by someone else. You see, the potter does a useful service to society. He makes his pots, he makes them properly. He has his job, he makes his contribution. But in modern society, you have to be certified by getting a certificate from these educationalists. No one is competent to make a living by himself. You have to get a certificate from someone else who says that now you are fit to join the workforce. So they have exams. Even from like age of 3, they start having exams. They're training them up. And each exam is like, you know, I have to pass the exam, otherwise it's a heavy pressure. Unless you pass the exam, there's something wrong with you. It's heavy pressure. No need of exams. In the traditional, even for the Brahmins who are studying the Vedas, there's no exam. You studied, you learned, that was it. The students wouldn't be accepted unless they were competent to learn. Then what's the need of an exam? There was no certificate. You didn't have to show your certificates. Just someone, I am a disciple of such and such, and that's it. I was with him for 20 years. I learned, and that's it. And your competence is seen in your ability to whatever he's doing. It may be Purohiti, priesthood, or whatever he may be doing. He knows how to do it. Everyone, whatever they did, they were trained for that from childhood. So naturally they were quite competent in that. But nowadays you find people, they're just given a kind of general education. And then they get a more specialized education. And when they come out anyway, their company has to train them. And they go on and on training them. They may change their job, or the company may change their whole policy, or the technology changes, and so no one's ever competent really for anything. And then they make someone who's a good salesman, they make him into a manager, where, you know, being a salesman and being a manager is something completely different. So you may be a good salesman, doesn't mean you're going to be a good manager, or you're a good, but that's the natural progression. You're a good computer operator, so they make you a supervisor, but the ability to operate a computer has got nothing to do with the ability to supervise people. So again, you're as, what is that, Murphy's Law? Everyone rises to their natural level of incompetence. You get promoted and promoted and promoted, and when you eventually reach a level that you're not fit for, you don't get promoted anymore. So everyone in the higher level, they're mostly unfit. Because they're never trained for that. Whereas in traditional society, everyone is trained there from the beginning. Their competence is ascertained, and they're trained, and they stick with that. It's not that they change jobs 20 times in a lifetime. It's not that the potter suddenly decides to become a professional dancer, and then all of a sudden he becomes something else, and something else, and something else, changes jobs. It's not required. Now, the educational system, because so much emphasis is put on what is your educational qualification, then it defines our social status. That you're traditionally in India, the caste system was predominating. Nowadays, there's a new kind of caste system. Whether you're educated or not, it seems to be surpassing caste with how much education you have. So, that again, it's controlled by someone else, that someone else sets the standards. And they're not spiritual standards by any means. Status is totally interconnected with educational standard. And modern education gives the idea that the family and the local community that cannot confer any status or well-being upon the child. The well-being of the child depends on the school. The family is totally incompetent to give you any values or anything useful. You have to send them away, out of the home. Only then can they learn anything of any value. It's not even an option. From the very beginning, your social status and your economic capability, it's taken outside the family unit. That means that the time you have to go out of the home, and the time that's usually childhood is the time when one learns how one's occupation. But in the modern education goes on and on and on and on. Like I was saying, I remember in India, that in Calcutta, I used to see in the shops in Borough Bazaar, Calcutta, that you'd see the young Marwari boys, 8 years old. They looked like that, 8 years old. They'd be dealing with the customers. They'd be bargaining with them. They knew how to do it. Their father was there. The young boy was there. He was already. But of course, Marwaris, by their culture, and they could do it. It's not such a difficult thing. But nowadays they have to go these boys who I saw one generation ago, they'll now their own children, they'll have to go get an education and then they'll get BCom, MCom, and then they'll be back in the shop doing the same thing. Or they won't. They'll go to some big company because they think this shop is no use for me. You see, so many times the father has a shop and the business is going on well, but he sent his son for education. The son can very easily just go in the shop and take over the business gradually as the father gets older. But he doesn't want to do it. He has to struggle. Because of modern education, it's given him a different idea. So he has to struggle and try and get another job, which he may or may not succeed in. Which it's absurd. Everything's already set up for him, but he doesn't want to do it. And he goes from a situation where he can have a steady income to one where it's all uncertain. And he has to struggle to learn so many things, unnecessarily. So that we find that there was previously a very high level of Even though life was simple, there was a high level of occupational competence. Like I was saying, the potter did his, he made a good pot. The women knew how to cook nicely, which nowadays they don't, because they don't, they're not trained in that, and they think it's stupid to be a housewife, and then their mothers themselves, they're out working, they're busy, and they don't, cooking is something, it's a nuisance. So the women don't know how to cook. The people at the age of, by the age of 15, no one's competent to earn any living. They usually, people who are so-called educated, they don't even start to earn a living until they're like 20, until 25. So actually the years of, so many years spent in education. Whereas at a much earlier age, people were competent to maintain themselves. That would be within the broader family and community. But nowadays becomes later and later, and so people get married later and later. There are so many discrepancies. Yeah, and then from a young age, the children, they leave the village, they're out of the home, and now maybe the family has to follow them. They're living in some hostel, and they come from the village, and then all the town children make fun of them because of the way they talk, and they think they're stupid because they're from the village. And the child from the village thinks, oh, I'm stupid because I'm from a village. And then they go out of the home, and then they go to one place for schooling, and then they go to another place for college, and then they go to another place for another course. And then their whole life, they're just unstable like that. Previously, people would be born in the same village, live in the same village, and die in the same village. But nowadays, they'll shift, they'll change jobs, change locations, maybe 10, 20 times in their life. So they're always shifting. They have no stable relationships, no stable community, no stable friends. How many of you have been out of the school for 20 years, are still in contact with all the people you went to school with? Who's been out of school 20 years now? Yeah. You have also, Hare Krishna? Do you have contact with the people you were at school with? Maybe one or two. One or two. And that also not often. How many jobs have you been in since you left school?
Four or five.
In different places? Even if you're in the same job, they may move you around. The company moves you around. Just like Sridhar Srinivas, whose home this is, his company is moving him to America. They said, go to America. He has to go. Of course, he could change jobs if he wanted. So like that, they can just move you around like this. And often we find that the husband's moved, and the woman, she has her own job and she wants to go somewhere else. I know one devotee, he was in Bangalore, and his company shifted him to Gujarat, and his wife said, I'm not going, I'm staying here. I'll do the job, I like the job better than you. This is the kind of life. You're laughing, but that's a reality. Often husband and wife are separated, you know, by hundreds or thousands of kilometers. And they think that's normal. So it breaks their whole, from the beginning, the whole family structure is broken down. The family becomes, family is not very important. My job, my career. Modern education is all I-centered. I, me, and mine. Make yourself a success. Sambandha abhideya prayoja. Who am I? How do I interrelate with others, and for what purpose? So in modern education, the idea is that I am an individual striving to make myself successful. All others are people, other people are those who can Either they can help me in that, or they're my enemies in my attempt to do that. And the aim of life is to be a success, which means to be respected by others for earning lots of money. It's very shallow. It doesn't bring even any satisfaction on the material platform. What to speak of? What to speak of spiritual understanding? So this whole outlook that we imbibe from the beginning of modern education, it's most non-conducive for spiritual understanding. The idea that I am an individual who has to show myself, I have to be respected for my level of competence and my achievements. And then how can you have spiritual life in which you're supposed to be a humble servant of the servants of the Vaishnavas? How is that possible? So our devotees, they're so much attached to this modern way of life and the values that go with it, which means that actually they're not Krishna conscious. That means that you may talk some Bhagavad Gita, but it's like something which is on the side. The real goal of life is to be a success, and on the side you also sometimes chant Hare Krishna. But as long as we maintain the values of modern society, then it's going to be anti-Krishna consciousness. You can't have both. Although I guess many of our supposed to be devotees would disagree with me, you can't have both because the modern outlook is demoniac. It's anti-Krishna conscious. And you may say, well, you can dovetail it in Krishna conscious, but some things can't be dovetailed. A demoniac outlook is not dovetailable in Krishna consciousness. The idea that I will make a success of myself and be very prestigious and get ahead, the consciousness is against Krishna consciousness. And the whole way of life and the association, it's very bad for Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada recommended, live simply on the land, produce your own food, and then you can see Krishna's hand in everything. When the rice is growing in the field, you can see there's Krishna is behind this. Whereas when you're operating computers, you're thinking, I am the doer, you see? I solved the problem. I got the... Others, someone else couldn't do it, but I found out how to solve the problem. You know this, right? You know exactly what I'm talking about. It fosters the idea of I am the doer. Even driving a car, it gives you the idea. I'm in control. Get out the way. My car. King of the road. The whole consciousness is fostered like that. Whereas when you're driving a bull is the symbol of dharma. And you actually have to treat the bull nicely, otherwise they won't work nicely. So the whole thing is very much more personal and connected. The whole traditional way of life is natural for us to become Krishna conscious. Whereas in the modern way of life, it's actually very difficult to be Krishna conscious. I mean, apart from the whole atmosphere and having to associate with materialistic people, you just don't get time. So, if one cannot live simply, you'll always find spiritual life very difficult. Oh, there are so many things in modern society. Calm, crowd, lobe. I'll talk gradually. But you see, in a modern life, one doesn't even have a normal psychology. People are not content. They're always frustrated. They're not inwardly feeling any peace or happiness. They're not sad. In simple life, people are satisfied with what comes easily. Whereas in modern life, no one's ever satisfied. They work very hard. Still, they don't get what they want, and they're never satisfied. And even if things go wrong, in traditional life, you're just like, there may be some hardships, maybe the crop fails, or then people accept it and they go on. Traditionally, this was Indian culture, isn't it? That, alright, there's some difficulty, but anyway, We have to go on and believe in Krishna. Whereas in modern life, it's like we have to solve the problem. Make a new planning commission. Make an inquiry. Bring some more fertilizers. Bring some more pesticides. Do some more research. They're always thinking, we're going to solve the problem. And they go on making more and more problems. They say, oh, we solved the problem. And in the meantime, they created more problems. And then they do more research to try and solve that problem. And therefore, you have to have highly educated people to make more and more research into more and more problems which they never needed in the first place. And they think, they call this progress. It's all madness. So, modern education says that it gives the idea that living simply, that's primitive and backward and stupid. Whereas we find that in traditional Indian culture, there was people, actually the educational level, not that everyone had to have a big education, but those who were educated, they were so educated that modern people, they can't even understand much of what they say. Just, we find our acharyas, the concepts that they gave, they have a very deep philosophical understanding. Actually, Srila Prabhupada gave us a great gift in presenting this Krishna conscious philosophy in a very simple, straightforward, basic manner. Otherwise, so many of the concepts which are there, or the understanding which are given in Shastra, they're so deep that people can't understand them at all. And actually, even the whole way of life was very good for fostering intelligence. People knew you drink cow's milk, that's very good. Bring that sign, put that up tomorrow. Phones off. Could you have the courtesy not to speak on the phone during the lecture? This is modern life. You have no, you see. The first thing, they should turn the cell phone off. And then if it goes off, you don't start talking in the middle of it. That you see people there talking together, all of a sudden someone's phone goes, and he completely forgets the person he's talking to and speaks on the phone. It's just so rude, but that's normal in modern life. And no even basic courtesy. So, they teach you that it's all very primitive and backward, but people had such high spiritual culture. And modern education means that you don't respect anyone. Or if you respect them, you respect them for superficial things like having a big education. Who's highly respected? Politicians, sportsmen. Who's one of the most respected? Who are some of the most respected people in modern India? Sachin Tendulkar. For what? Because he can hit a ball with a piece of wood. And what great contribution is that to human society? Also, these film stars, what is their contribution? They show a completely degraded way of life on the screen, and people think, oh, they're very great people. People have no culture. In modern life, the culture is completely destroyed. Previously, education, people valued that for character building, and the teacher was expected to have good character, wasn't it? Teachers are very much respected. But nowadays, teachers, they don't have good character, they're not respected. It's just another job. If you can't get a job doing anything else, you're not good enough to do anything else, then become a teacher, that's all. If you're no good at anything, then teach it. That's all. As I know, one of the teachers when I was at school, he told me, I became a teacher because you don't have very long hours and you don't have to, there's not a lot of pressure, you get long holidays. That's all. That was his reason for being a teacher. As soon as it was over, he'd immediately leave school. If any children came to ask him any questions, he said, I don't know, I don't have to answer you. That's all. I'm not paid to, you know, I'm paid to do this, but for him it was just the easiest way to live so he could enjoy himself. So, there's no, this kind, what is that education? So they say that you're a fool for not living up to your highest potential. Education gives you up to your highest potential, but your highest potential is to understand that I am not meant for working like an ass, I am meant for serving Krishna. That's your real highest potential. But in modern life, they think, if you think like this, they think, oh, you're spoiling your life. You could have been a great success. They've brainwashed you so badly that you think that if you live like a complete ass, that is being successful. But real success means to understand, real education means to understand, I'm not the body, I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. That's real success. That's practicing bhakti means to come to your highest potential. This is your real, actual potential. So modern education, it actually makes people useless. Unless they have this piece of paper, they feel, I can't live in the world, I can't operate in the world. I have to get certified by someone else. I have to take this piece of paper that says BM, what is it, BSc or something. Without this, I can't live, I can't operate, I'm useless without it. So it actually, they say education empowers you, but the whole educational ethos, it disempowers you. Because without it, people think without it, you can't do anything. Krishna has given every living being the arrangement. Eko bahunam yo vidatati kaman. Krishna arranges everything. But we've made a very artificial society in which we think that we are arranging everything. And modern man is illusioned into thinking that unless we make all these complex arrangements, we can't live. But to live, we need food, roti kapramaka. Food, clothing and shelter. And by Krishna's arrangement, these are easily available anywhere in the world, except maybe some very difficult places like the desert or Greenland or something like that. But definitely in a country like India, everything is arranged. You don't have to go into a big city. It's actually more difficult, just like in twin cities here, there's a big water problem. Because so many people are living crammed into one area and not growing any food. And there's a water problem and then you don't get any fresh food. And if the oil supply is cut off, then these big cities are in big problem because there won't be any food. And you're dependent on electricity. You're dependent on so many artificial things. And there's so much unemployment, whereas in traditional society, there's no unemployment. The whole society. The village is a complete unit. So like I say, someone's a potter, someone's a barber. In the bigger villages, there might be a blacksmith, and things like weaving go on at home. So there's full employment for everyone. And 90% of what you need is produced locally and consumed locally. So it's a complete... Each village is a complete economy. So whereas modern economy means that you produce something in one place and then you have to find a market. If you don't find a market, then the product is useless. And the workers, they're also consumers. So it's a big thing to try to get the people to... They're earning money, but then they have to spend. There's this social pressure that you have to spend. Like I was saying, you may earn 20,000 a month, but you have to spend. It's not enough just to have some simple clothes. You have to have fashions, and you have to show a fancy cell phone, because this pressure is on you that you have to buy things. They put this pressure on you, because unless you buy things, and then they can't sell things, and then they can't employ you, and then they can't make a profit, and the whole society is based on selling more and more things that people don't need, and making people think that they need things which they don't need. And nowadays you say, well, I need to have a motorbike or something, so I can go to work. But previously you didn't need a motorbike to go to work, you just walk out the house, or you're right in the house. So it's an artificial necessity. So, and it produces unemployment, because you're always trying to sell new things, and some of the things don't work, or the goods don't work, and then the factory closes down, and then, or someone else makes the same thing at a cheaper price. You find that in America, all the big motor companies, they're all finished, and only the governments are running them on. Otherwise, they're completely, their business is taken away by Japanese and Korean companies. And then artificially, the government's running on these companies by taxing the citizens. So you have to pay high taxes, because the whole economic system is so bizarre. So recently, so many banks, they gave them huge loans. So a few people, because of their mistakes, all the people who are working, that so much of the money they earn has to go to cover the mistakes of some bankers. It wasn't actually mistakes, it was just exploiting people. So it's the whole system breeds corruption and unemployment. And you see, you may get trained, you see, I get an education, then I'll get a job. But it may be that you don't get a job because the technology changes. My brother-in-law, he studied 5 years printing technology. This was, you know, more than 20 years ago. And just when he finished, the computerization of the printing industry came in, and everything he learned was completely useless. He spent 5 years studying something, which as soon as he finished, it was all completely useless. And you find that all the time. You have to, just like in the computer field, or you have to go on studying all your life because it's always changing. You have to keep up with it. It's always, all the technology is always changing all the time. So, nothing is sure, just like I was saying. You can be in a company, you're there for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. One day they call you and say, thank you very much, you don't have a job anymore. It happens all the time. Because the whole economic system, it's so unstable. Whereas the village economy, it is stable. It's a self-contained unit, and people produce what they need, and they consume it locally. So there's always a demand for the same things, and therefore there's always employment. There's no unemployment. Makes sense, doesn't it? It's all by Krishna's arrangement. But we're more clever. And we've made so many problems. And then you have things like depression, frustration, low self-esteem because I didn't get a good job. Or I did have a good job and I was feeling great and all of a sudden I was thrown out. And there's unprecedented suicide. All these successes. In Bangalore is the number one, it's the suicide capital of, and mental illness capital of India. And they're mostly all IT people. All the successes. So the whole modern society is on a wrong basis, and the whole modern education is educating people how to completely ruin their life, both materially and spiritually. And they've got everyone thinking that this is it, this is great, this is wonderful, this is good life. Just like this young boy, Kartik, wants to come to the city and have an education. He can live simply at home. He can play the mridanga very nicely, and he can cultivate Krishna consciousness, but no, not content. I can do more service. This kind of makes him mental. I'll do more service if I earn more money. But the main service is to actually be Krishna conscious. Right? Money, if we're Krishna conscious, money will come. I mean, I'm not very Krishna conscious, but money comes to me. I'm more successful than any of you, probably. I probably get more money than all of you, and I have no fixed income. I don't work for any money. I don't ask people for money. And, you know, so much money comes to me that I'm giving more donations than any of you. Because the combined donations to me comes to more, much more than I can, even for printing of my books I have excess. So I give for building temples, right? You know? I don't have money in my own bank accounts or any such thing. It all goes into ISKCON accounts. So if you really want to donate lots of money, then come get trained up and be a preacher and go around and preach. And if people are satisfied that you are actually being Krishna conscious, then people will automatically give you money. And because you don't desire it, people will want to give it to you. If you desire money, then you have to work hard and try and squeeze it from somewhere. If you don't desire money, then people will give it to you. And then you have to think how to give it to someone else who can use it in Krishna's service. So if you really want to give a lot of money for Krishna's service, don't even think about money. No need to get all this education. I don't have a high education materially at all. I hated school. I had enough intelligence, even from a young age, to understand this is a bunch of nonsense and to have no interest in it. I had the potential to be a star student, but I had no interest, so I didn't do very well. I didn't go to university. I was told, if you don't go, you'll regret it for the rest of your life. I never regretted it. I'm very happy that I never went to university. Although I've been to many universities for giving lectures and telling them what a bunch of nonsense they're learning, directly or indirectly. And I'm rich. You could say I'm rich. In as much as lots of money comes to me. But then, what do I need money for anyway? Only for serving Krishna. So if you really want to give lots of money to Krishna, give your life to Krishna. And then if Krishna wants, you can. But anyway, giving money, that's not the only way to serve. It's very important to serve just to show that we can live simply and you don't need what modern society can so-called bestow on you to serve Krishna better. The best way we can serve Krishna, the best way of any way, is to show that we are happy in Krishna consciousness. Then, to actually be Krishna conscious, we will be happy in Krishna consciousness, and then other people will want to be like that. But if we think that I have to work hard and get a good job and have a good career and be in a lot of anxiety and be just like the materialists, except that sometimes I stick my hand in a bead bag. And then other people want to be like me. They'll say, oh, you see, I can be totally dedicated to the modern way of life and also stick my hand in a bead bag sometime. But that's not really Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means that our goal of life is centered on Krishna, not that we think that I have to become a material success first, and then you can really be Krishna conscious. Or somehow or other, the people who are so-called material successes, they are better devotees. That's what I'm talking about. The caste system, modern Indian caste system, is based on your material position. But really, the most intelligent people are those who realize that this whole modern society is cheating us, and that if we live simply and we don't have lots of material demands or desires, and we spend time chanting Hare Krishna, that's what we're supposed to do, isn't it? What's most important in Krishna consciousness, to have a PhD, MSc, earn 50,000 rupees a month, or to chant Hare Krishna? We're supposed to chant Hare Krishna. And whether you earn 50,000 rupees a month, or 50 rupees a month, or nothing a month, or 50 crores a month, has got absolutely nothing to do with how we're chanting Hare Krishna. The real thing is to chant Hare Krishna. But the tendency is, if we think that I need more and more money, then our desire to chant Hare Krishna goes down. So better to live simply. That's what Prabhupada was preaching. So we need devotees, those who are in the villages, if they stay there and chant Hare Krishna. People say, oh, you're spoiling your life. They say, no, I'm not spoiling my life. You're spoiling your life. You are trying to spoil my life by diverting me away from the simple life in which I can live simply and chant Hare Krishna. So there's a few thoughts. Thank you to Tejas Prabhu for these various thoughts. There's a lot more to be said. So many bad things in modern education, how all the boys and girls are mixing up. There's so many abortions and so many things. Teachers exploiting the pupils and so many bad things. Anyway, any questions, please? I guess, has anyone else come on? Or only from Dubai? Disconnected. How long ago? Why did it get disconnected? What got locked? You didn't reconnect it? Why is that? Because of a poor internet connection? Or? Please turn off your cell phones, even if it has Govindamadi Purusham as the cell tone. There's a time and a place for everything. Yeah, any questions, please? Yeah. If you want, you can write the questions down. You can, there is, then I can read it out. Because anyway, I'm going to have to repeat what you say. Yeah. Not loudly enough that it'll get recorded. So say it.
Maharaj, in the olden days, in the society, every day.
What do you say?
In the olden days. In the olden days, the society was very much organized and people used to do sacrifices. So the whole natural, you know.
In the olden days, society is very organized and people used to do sacrifices. Do you mean they used to do yajnas? Is that what you mean? Or they used to? Yeah, okay. Because sacrifice can mean something else in English also.
Krishna says, when you perform sacrifice,
when you perform sacrifice, yes.
The demigods are pleased.
Demigods are pleased, they will give you everything. Yeah.
But in modern society,
there's no sacrifice. So do sacrifice, chant Hare Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada came to Hyderabad, there'd been a drought for some time. This was, I believe, around 1974. 75, was it? And a journalist asked Prabhupada, are you an Advaitavadi or Advaitvadi? And Prabhupada said, what's the use of this question? There's no rain. Anad bhavanti bhutani. What's the next line? Parjanyadana sambhava. Parjanya means rain. There's no food without rain. So Prabhupada said, we're going to chant Hare Krishna and perform yajna. And within 2 days of Prabhupada coming, although there'd been no rain for months, there was profuse rain. So at this Hyderabad farm, also in Dabilpur, they were asking about Medchal, is it? Yeah, it's Taluka Medchal, and Dabilpur is the village. So I was told devotees were asking about digging wells. Prabhupada said, don't dig wells. No need to dig wells. You chant Hare Krishna, enough rain will come. So do yajna, rain will come sufficiently. Sarva kama dukha mahi. Everything, all necessities are supplied by the earth. But some organization is required, yes. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada is talking about Varnashram society. Daivi Varnashram. Is there any other question, please? What is the practical application to avoid modern education? Live on the land, make these Varnashram communities and teach about Krishna consciousness. As of now, there are not many ISKCON temples in villages right now in India, if I'm not wrong. So how can we have association even if we start living in villages? Also these days, villages are polluted with modern culture, no proper food and shelter. What is your suggestion for this? Yeah, so what I'm saying is that Prabhupada wanted us to make our own Varnashram village communities. So the beginning of that is for people to understand that modern life is a disaster and to have the desire to live simply. First of all, we have to understand why. So we're talking about, therefore I'm talking about these things, and some devotees are taking this up and going to the village. It's going on. Here in Andhra, Bhakti Raghav Maharaj is organizing some village communities, and some devotees here are interested in doing some material successes. Very interested in doing that, some of the devotees here. In various places also. Here in Andhra, Bhakti Raghav Maharaj disciples, some of them up to now are doing that. Prabhupada, this farm in Mejo Taluka, But unfortunately, our devotees, they brought the wrong kind of mentality to that. Yeah. But there's no use to even go to the land if we bring our city mentality. We have to have faith in Krishna and not think that when I go to the village, I need to, you know, I need electricity and I need a TV and I need an air conditioner and a washing machine and tractor. No, one has to be prepared to live simply. As all your previous generations did up to a short time ago. Were any of you in the beginning of your life living in a situation where there was no electricity? Yourself. How was life? Was it absolutely miserable and horrible? There was less anxiety, huh? It was very simple. I also spent about 8 or 10 years traveling in the villages in Bangladesh and sometimes in Burma, now Myanmar. There was no electricity. The only sign of modern life, the only difference mostly you could imagine that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan party might come round the corner because the life was just so much the same as it had been for hundreds of years. Only by the grace of the United Nations they had some hand pump wells in many of the villages. But many villages would come in the evening and people were sitting chanting Hare Krishna, playing the mridanga karta. Because what will you do after dark? There's no TV. So their recreation is chanting Hare Krishna. Better for spiritual life. Now we have electricity and people are working all night. Any other question, please? No? All right. Oh, we have some written question. Give that first. And then you can write yours down in the meantime. In modern society, the whole ecological system is distorted because people do not perform yajnas except for a few who also chant Hare Krishna. Well, that's not the only reason. They're putting so much poison in the soil, in the air, and in the water, and everything. Because of this complexity, there's irregular weather is one of the results of modern progress and pollution. Our faith shakes. We see so many people coming to the village, to the city for livelihood, and therefore our faith shakes to go back to the villages and spend our life out there. Well, there are various reasons that people are coming from the villages to the city. One is because they have city desires planted in their heads by the TV and by modern education, which is in the village also. And they're thinking, I'll be better off. And there is also, it may be because you see they've made all these new, seeds which they fail and then they have debts and There's so many problems. Village life, we're not just saying go to the village. We're saying go to the village and live simply. In the modern village life, people don't live simply. And we're not just saying go to any village and just live like the people there, but go with devotees, community. The aim is not in and of itself to live simply. The aim is to be Krishna conscious, and simple living facilitates that. But we have to live in a Krishna conscious way, which most village people don't do. The whole village economy is spoiled by politics and politicians and greed. They give them loans and then they have to pay it back and all this kind of thing. Please tell us how to restore the faith, because the whole propaganda is to come to the cities. Well, that's what am I talking about in the lecture. Yes. Therefore, I'm talking about these things. The people in... What's that word? What was this?
Phobia.
Phobia. Spelled wrongly. That's why I couldn't understand what it was. The people in phobia of modern education... Phobia means you're against it. I think they mean that they're attracted to it, and how to bring back the actual position. Again, we're talking about it, we actually have to do it. And actually, to a large extent, our modern ISKCON is also completely sold out to the modern way of life, and they've made the schools completely materialistic, so... And many of our so-called devotees will also, they'll protest, no, no, you can't go to the village, and Prabhupada said that, but it's not possible, and redefining everything that Prabhupada said, unfortunately. But I consider it my great fortune that I have faith in what Prabhupada said, even if it may not seem practical to people who are brainwashed by modern society. Maharaj, no human effort is necessary. Question. I don't know what this question is. I don't know what the question is. Could it be rewritten so it's... What is the roadmap of ISKCON society to establish Daivi Varnashram Dharma? I mean, how can it be done? Well, first of all, people have to understand it should be done. And then they have to be prepared to do it, which requires some...